Hi, I'm Abby. I'm a mom and a writer.
Hi, I'm Melanie. I'm a mom and a writer.
Hi, I'm Jenny. I'm a mom and a book coach.
Welcome to Mom Writes, where we aren't slick, we aren't fancy, but we are real. This podcast is all about our coaching journey, writing a book from start to finish. It's real life writing, done at the kitchen table or in our spare 15 minutes between work and school pickup. This is how we get it done. It's the dirty laundry behind writing with kids. If you're interested in more information about Author Accelerator and the same coaching program we use, visit Jenny's website at www.authoraccelerator.com.
Welcome to episode 80 of the Mom Writes podcast. It's the one where I, Abby Matthews, can officially say, I have a first draft.
Yay, Mom! Woo, woo, woo,
woo. So, thanks, babe.
Okay, you're welcome.
We chat for a few minutes about my exciting life news while we wait for Mel to join us. And once she's on, we cover my exciting writing news. So, without further ado...
So you're moving in like 2 weeks, you said, or like selling house, getting house, and, yep. And how is that all going?
It's going good, but the thing that's keeping me motivated are these damn pigs that are waiting at the other end for me.
You got pigs?
We got pigs.
How did you get pigs?
So the lady whose house I'm buying, she wouldn't leave me her pigs. And she said they're too much like dogs and they're just part of her family. But she put me in contact with a woman who runs a pig rescue. This is a thing.
I can't believe. Wait, there's a pig rescue?
There's a pig rescue. And the pig rescue lady has been waiting for the right family for these two little piglets, their brother and sister. And she said in all the years she's been doing pig rescue, these two piglets are going to be the hardest pigs that she's ever had to give up. And she's been waiting for the right family to find them. And she
How did she get that? Where did she rescue the pigs from?
I don't know. I have to get more information. I mean, we were just going back and forth on like Facebook Messenger of all things. But she friended me on Facebook and like... apparently deep dove into my Facebook page to help her decide if we were the right family. Yeah, she's serious. She's a serious pig rescuer.
How could she tell from your Facebook page that you're an appropriate pig parent?
I'm guessing because you can tell from my Facebook page that I'm a loving and awesome mother and a loving and awesome dog parent. And so that's all I can guess was that she could see we had chickens. She could see we have dogs.
Oh,
she could tell that, like, I love all these things.
I'm had just to. Thinking if somebody did that on my Facebook page, I would not get the pigs. So you were chosen specially for the pigs.
I think she feels like we're a good fit. And so now the good thing is that as I start to. And I'm not that stressed about packing. I've just been doing a little bit every day, and I'm just kind of to the point where I know kind of what I have to do every day to be ready, but it's still tiring. And so as I start to wind down now and I'm like, oh, I don't want to pack another box. I'm like, yes, I do. Because the faster I get down there, the faster I get my piggies.
So what do the girls think?
So the girls have been so funny about it. The pigs came, the woman said she's rescued so many pigs, she starts running out of names. So these two pigs she named after her sister and brother, Lisa and Larry, are the pigs' names.
Wait, yeah. Are the pigs sister and brother?
The pigs are sister and brother, and so she named them after her own sister and brother.
That's so awesome.
And my girls were like, nope, that is not their names. So they decided the girl pig is Bees and the boy pig is Bells. And B and Sean chose the name Penelope for the girl pig.
Oh, wait. You lost me for a minute. You said, I was like, wait, you're naming the pigs after your children. But what you were telling me was that each child is sort of in ownership of one of the kids.
Yeah.
I thought, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they didn't approve of the names Lisa and Larry. So B chose the girl pig and Belle chose the boy pig. So B named the girl pig Penelope, which she and Sean just somehow came up with that and decided that was a very appropriate pig name. And I agree. And Belle has refused to budge on her name. This pig is being named Mr. E or nothing at all.
So wait, isn't that her teacher?
She's naming it after her teacher.
Mr. E and Penelope?
Penelope and Mr. E. So.
Oh, my gosh. Does Mr. E know that he's having a pig named after him?
Yes. So Belle went to school and immediately told him that she was naming her new pet pig after him. And he was just tickled pink.
Because he obviously knows they're moving.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the funny thing is he told me he has an aunt who lives in Jupiter, Florida, and his mother goes several times a year down to Florida to visit his aunt. And he said, oh, I'll come with her one summer and I'll come by and see Belle and Mr. E.
Oh, my gosh. This is amazing. This is amazing.
So that's my moving update. But Melanie is ready. Should we Skype Melanie in?
Yeah, because I only have a little time, so we got to kick it out.
Okay, so here, let's do it. Hang on. Hello, everybody.
Hello. You look cozy, Abby.
I'm wearing a frickin' wool sweater in May, which is not going to happen much longer, so.
You want to send me all your sweaters?
I might have to send somebody all my sweaters. You want it to be you?
Yeah, I do.
Let's get thinking. You want to send me all your bathing suits? Because I guess I'm going to need more of those.
Yeah, sure.
Do you have a collection of bathing suits?
I was thinking about that this morning. I actually have three, and I don't know how I acquired three because I'm not really a swimmer, but I did just buy one last month, and I was like, do I need this?
Maybe not.
Sure. But yeah, I don't know. I'm saving them for when I come and visit you, Abby.
See? That's why you need it.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember if there's a guest room in this house.
There is. There is, and we're going to actually...
Is it the one that's downstairs? No, that was the other house you didn't get.
That was the house we didn't get. This one has a nice guest room that it's all one level, and actually we're going to put an addition on, so we'll have more space. So,
I like a house in the back for writing and your guest.
I am telling you, I'm just going to write at the kitchen table. That just has the best mojo for me. I just feel I very... Madeline L'Engle, so.
Did you read that book, Circle of Quiet?
I read excerpts. Does that count?
Yeah, it's a great book.
I love every excerpt.
Oh, my gosh. If any mom is thinking they shouldn't do this or can't do this, Madeline L'Engle, who, of course, wrote
Wrinkle in Time,
among other things, really prominent and pioneering sci-fi writer. A Circle of Quiet is her memoir about becoming a writer. And she has that metaphor of writing at the kitchen table, which for her meant writing in the flow of life and the coming and going and the work of a mom. And she has this amazing thing about a pie, about making a pie and comparing that to writing. And she almost didn't write A Wrinkle in Time. She was like, I can't do this. I suck. I have to take care of my kids. That's my job. Like, she had that whole thing that everybody has. And then she wrote A Wrinkle in Time.
And it was amazing.
It's just crazy. And it's all about the kitchen table. That's her. That's her thing, which is, so I love you at the kitchen table.
That's who I'm channeling. Perfect. So
let's get down to business.
Let's do it, friends. Who's going first?
Well, Abby has news, right?
That I got to the end?
Yeah, that news.
You mean this? That I did this?
Oh, how many pages is it?
It was right at 200, I think. But The problem is, so of course the listeners can't see what I'm holding up. I'm holding up a binder.
It's just a shame.
A binder where I think it's the only time I've ever gone to Staples and cried. Like I stood at the photocopier in Staples to print my manuscript, and I like sobbed at the photocopier. But
because why? Tell us why.
Because it felt good. I mean, it was a good cry, yeah, not a sad cry. I was
cry
like,
of accomplishment.
I literally stood there thinking, I did it. Like, I finished the first draft, and this is huge. Yeah. And I know it's not perfect, and I know it's not right, but like, there was a feeling of accomplishment having finished this much. And so I wanted
That's so cool. I'm smiling so big.
Thank God no one else was at Staples, though, because I was like... But I was so mad, though. I did a rookie mistake printing it, however.
Didn't put page numbers on?
I didn't put page numbers on. That was number one.
Rookie mistake number one.
Which I had said to myself, well, and when I compiled it all in Word... I had said, kept repeating, put page numbers in, and I totally forgot. But then I compiled it all with Jenny's edits because that was what I wanted in my hands were the edits, not necessarily my words, but Jenny's, so that as I went through my Scrivener document, I had my edits in my hand on paper. Well, because you couldn't see what you were printing on the copier. You just clicked the document. It must have defaulted to print without the edits. So I spent $22 frickin' dollars to print this thing, and I don't even have the part that I want. So I was
you
like,
can send it to me.
You're
going to
print it for me? Oh, I thought you were going to say you were going to print it for me. But,
well, I could do that too.
So I guess we got to talk about what do you do when you get this far, Jenny? Now, what's the next step?
Cupcakes and champagne, because I think finishing a rough draft is one of the best moments in the life of a book. I really do. It's so big. I mean, the difference between not doing it and doing it, right?
Yeah.
Not doing it and doing it. You did it. Like you did it. You did it. And what happens from here on out is, I mean, you make it better, you refine it, you try to get it ready for the world, you try to put it out in the world, but a lot of that, it's different. It's just different because you had nothing and now you have something. Look at your binder.
And it's right here.
It's so many pages.
It's life-changing. It's before first draft, after first draft.
Yeah. Actually, it's like, you know, when you have your first baby, they make you a mother. And it's like that, like you're a writer.
You're a book mother.
Do you think
a writer?
Too bad it's too big to carry in my purse. So when people say, where's your book? I can be like, well, right here.
Would you like to buy a copy? It's $22.
$22.
How many pages is it? I don't really know. There's no page numbers.
I'm guessing about 200, you know, ish. So... no, but I felt really good and I had a moment just, so I actually finished it. We turn our pages in on Monday. I finished it Saturday morning and I walked away from it. And Sunday morning I came back and I remembered one little piece that I had meant to add in that I had forgotten. But I read through, you know, my last submission of my first draft, and I felt so damn good about it. And not even because I had written the end, but I felt really good about what I had written. And I just prayed that Jenny was going to tell me it was good too.
Oh my gosh. It was so good. I freaked out. Well, I actually went on to Twitter because I didn't want to just tell you. I wanted to tell the whole writing universe, and that's Twitter. So it was so good. I'm looking at my comments right now. Except that it's not right because there aren't that many. Did you already? Oh, I got it. I'm not looking at my actual edits. That's why. I'm like, where are all my comments? I'm looking. Oh, it's that weird sound. I got to use the other thing.
No, that's okay. Because you know what? Look, I have my big fat trackpad right here, too. So I'm just going to answer your thumps with my own thumps.
Well, I thump a lot because I'm cruising through looking at everything. Okay, yeah. So I was just blown away by this piece of writing, Abby. I couldn't believe how good it was. And I cannot wait to teach something. I don't know what it's going to be, but something where I put your first chapter of your first thing that you wrote within this podcast thing that we're doing next to this. Like, we're doing that somewhere. I'm doing that because it was like, is this even the same person? Like, is this even the same story? Like it actually is night and day. It's just, and I was just like, wow, it's so good. And so here's the thing. It's even so much better than the last chapters he wrote. Like, so I just want to know what happened. That's what I want to know. Why is this so good?
You know what? Between the last chapters and now, I went back and I mapped out those three stories. And I think that
The series.
Yeah. I think it just took doing that to realize I know exactly what the hell is going on now.
Yeah.
And boom. So here it is.
And oh my gosh.
So yeah. Now I feel like I'm in the right mindset to turn around and go back. And so it's like Melanie, you know, in our super secret writing group that no one's supposed to talk about, but apparently I cannot keep my mouth shut. you know, Elena is struggling right now with not knowing where her story is going. And she feels like that's keeping her from being able to move forward. And she wanted to know, where did everybody else start? Like, how much of an outline did you start with? How much of your story did you know? I feel like I don't know all the details, so I can't write it. And I said to her, listen, I had 2 pages of a 2-tier outline. Jenny never graduated me to 3 pages, unlike Melanie, who got like 17 pages or something. I said she had so much of it mapped out, and I didn't. But I hit a point in my writing in the story where I finally figured it out. And then it was like, I'm done. This is great. Like, now I can do it. And so it just took me a little. I'm a late bloomer.
Oh my gosh, it was so good. But everything about it was good. The characters were good. The dialogue was good. The emotion was good. The action was good. The language was good. I was just like, I mean, wow. And also endings are really hard. They're usually really cheesy, or you're like tying stuff up with a bow, or
did I do okay though? Tying it up? I figured
so well.
That was gonna be the one place where you might say to me, like, okay, we have to do something different here. But
No. I mean, but the thing brings up is that you're going to have to go back to page one and bring like where this story ends. Now you know where it ends.
Yeah.
And you know exactly how the book magic world works, how the library works, how the master librarian works, you know, that Ralph is going to be there, that there's stuff about the mom. Like, there's so much stuff that you have to now go back and bake in. Like, fold in.
And every bit of that stuff is right there in the last chapter, too, which I thought was really neat.
I know. It was just, it's mind-blowing. So, Abby, will you put this together with the first thing?
A before and after?
Yeah.
Yeah, like when you renovate your house, it's a before and after.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think, should it have the edits on it?
Why not? Because people, isn't that part of what people are interested in is
what
book coaching does? So we could put the edits that you, well, you didn't put any edits on my first 10 pages.
Yeah, because but I that sent was, you that letter that was like, you don't know how to write and this story is really bad. And
there's a man dog in there.
Yeah. I loved the man dog, but can I say, you know who I love more than the man dog? Soda Pop Curtis. I'm just going to say that.
Oh my gosh, he's my favorite.
I love him now, and he has to find a place in book number two.
Oh my gosh, when he puts his arm around Logan, I almost cried. It was so beautiful.
I have a secret. I don't know who Soda Pop Curtis is.
Oh my gosh. So have you ever read The Outsider Smell?
Oh!
Ponyboy's older brother, okay. The middle Curtis boy.
That's all you had to say. And yes, you know never mind. What? I know who he is.
Here's the funny thing. You want to know where my inspiration for that came from? Jenny's going to laugh. Lori Tom, who was titling her book about Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe plays Soda Pop Curtis in the movie adaptation. And that was like my little silent tip of the hat to Lori Tom, one of my writing friends. So Soda Pop Curtis.
Okay.
But he fit perfectly. He was just what I needed to pull out and like pull it all together. And then at the end with Jing Mei from Joy Luck Club, can I just say that I struggled with what food to fix them at the end of the story. And you would think it's so silly because my first instinct was macaroni and cheese from Fried Green Tomatoes in the Whistle Stop Cafe. Like, I was trying to think of, like, what books revolve around food or have food in them or where food is important. Like, what
books? You've read a lot of books.
Yes.
I don't remember a lot of them. Sometimes I have to go back and look them up again. But Joy Luck Club and Amy Tan when I was in college. Amy Tan was just my jam, man. I loved Amy Tan. And the whole idea behind the Joy Luck Club is that you have daughters that don't know their mother's stories. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. And food plays a big role when all the mothers get together to play Mahjong. They always bring food. And like dumplings are supposed to be for a fortunate life. And oranges are supposed to be for a sweet life. Like, you know, in Chinese culture, it all symbolizes things. So after this, the conversation turned and we had some technical issues and Jenny had to go. But I'm going to fill in with a little momologue. That was actually a typo. I had meant to say monologue, but I typed out the word momologue instead. And I'm going to go with it because it's kind of fitting. Listen, thank you for listening along as Jenny tore up my first draft. It wasn't pretty. And as a matter of fact, my first draft is a flippin' train wreck. So I imagine all of you listeners as fellow drivers on the interstate of writing, slowing down as you pass to watch Jenny pull out the jaws of life. But what I've come to realize is that my first draft being a hot mess, that's kind of a normal thing. It's something that's supposed to happen, especially with a first draft. I'm still amazed that not only did I do it, but we captured every freaking second of it, the process, on audio. And I think that the listeners who have hung in there with us for the last 80 episodes, they didn't do it because they were necessarily in it to hear stories about my kids or my new pigs, or even because they were terribly interested in writing middle grades fantasies. But rather, you guys hung in there because you allowed Melanie and I to be stand-ins for you. And I've been assured that the mistakes that we've made over the course of season one have been common, and our struggles are universal, not just when it comes to writing your first novel, but with our writing lives in general. I mean, my children tiptoed quietly around me while I polished off 1,000 words, said no writer mom ever. So speaking of stand-ins, our kids are really just a stand-in for whatever it is in life that dominates your time and your physical and mental energies. Maybe it's a job or an ailing spouse or aging parents, or maybe you have a passion for something other than writing that feeds your soul and you don't want to give it up. Maybe, like us, you're just starting down this road of writing and you're having a hard time giving up something to make room to write. Or maybe you have nothing that you can give up, but you're looking to make room somehow in any way that you can. The point is, you don't have to be a mom of young kids to be able to relate. You can be someone whose kids are old enough now that you totally get to pee by yourself and you still struggle with the same writing life challenges that Melanie and I do. So as Madeline L'Engle said, although I'm totally paraphrasing this, embrace the swirl, right in the swirl of your own life. I've heard Jenny say on like 40 separate occasions that writers should give it all away. Don't hold back from your readers. So I'm going to do that right here, and I'm going to give it all away by telling you that in season 2 of Mom Writes, my draft gets better, but only because I keep making lots of mistakes. Revising is a bit like living on my new farm. The pigs make a hole in the fence, and they get out, so you put them back and fix the hole. Only they make a new hole, and they get out again, so you fix that hole and put them back. But guess what happens? Yeah, you get the picture. They make a new effing hole. And sometimes when they're out, they also, in their exuberance, bust a hole in the goat's fence. And then the goats eat all your landscaping. So now you're left to fix fences and re-landscape. That's a true story. And it's a perfect metaphor for revision. Let's just say, to make everything work, I end up pulling down the fence and rebuilding it on the farm and in my book. So cue the music, Jeremy. Join us next week on Mom Writes, where we have an episode or two before we get Melanie to the end of her first draft. She's hot on my tail, so we'll focus on her for a little while as I take a tiny break between drafts. Until then, keep writing forward.